Well, today I've got something very special, and it has to do with one of my very favorite bands of all time, Blood, Sweat, and Tears. In June 1970, they had just won the Grammy for Album of the Year, beating the Beatles' Abbey Road album. They had the number one album in the country. It was a gold album, and it sold, was going platinum. It had three gold singles on that album. And they became the first American rock band to perform behind the Iron Curtain, doing concerts in Yugoslavia, Romania, and Poland on a tour sponsored by the U.S. State Department. The beginning of a very difficult time for Blood, Sweat, and Tears. To talk to us today is one of the founding members of Blood, Sweat, and Tears, was with the band from the very first album, and that is Steve Katz, an incredible guitarist. But we've also got John Scheinfeld, who wrote, produced, and directed the film, here's, pardon the language, What the Hell Happened to Blood, Sweat, and Tears? It's now in movie theaters across North America, and it is the true story of the fallout from doing this tour, what it was like for the band to be on tour, and what it was like for the band after the tour. And so we're delighted to welcome to the morning show and to On the Bookshelf, Steve Katz and John Scheinfeld. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me. When I was in high school, a trumpet player, my idols were Blood, Sweat, and Tears because the music that you guys were doing was so different and so exciting and so creative. I think the documentary is remarkable and shows footage that has been hidden ever since the tour, right?
That's right, Dave. One of the things I love about my job is the detective work that we get to do. And to try to track down the best, the most unusual, and the most rare and unseen footage. And in this case, we found footage that was shot when the band went behind the Iron Curtain, first American rock band to perform in those communist countries. So we found all of that film. Most people don't know, for example, Blood, Sweat, and Tears was one of the headliners at the legendary Woodstock Festival because they weren't in the movie.
Right.
Well, we found some of the footage of their performance there. That's also in the film. Any of your listeners that may come to see the film are going to see some really rare and never-before-seen material.
This is really extraordinary for those of us who have been fans of the band all these years to get to see them performing when they're really at the height of their popularity and influence in America. Steve, thank you so much for being with us. I know that you were one of the original members of Blood, Sweat, and Tears on the first album, as well as being with the band through all of this, and you were probably the most politically outspoken member of the band, but even so, going behind the Iron Curtain and seeing communism firsthand was sort of a surprise, right?
Yeah, it was a surprise. I really didn't want to go on this trip because of my politics. I didn't want to represent the Nixon administration, especially during the war years, and I was part of a band, so that was my job. So I went on the trip, and boy, did it change my perspective, because the kids or the people that saw us just flipped. They just loved it. And I realized, wow, we're bringing these people our music, and they're loving it. They don't get the opportunity to see this. They don't get to see, like in Romania, to see a rock and roll band.
Right.
I mean, they weren't, you know, I had a guy, a waiter, come over to me and whisper in my ear, if I give you my address, can you send me a Led Zeppelin album? It was really incredible to, actually, when I look back on it, and one thing this movie did was awaken so many memories, and I look back on it, it was making these people happy,
yeah.
Really, really happy. Thousands of people behind the Iron Curtain, because they were behind the Iron Curtain, not because they just loved our music, but because they saw something that they couldn't be a part of.
Right.
And we gave them that, and that felt great. And to this day, I feel happy about that.
One of the things I like about the documentary is that they give all of the members of the band, everybody in the band is alive except for Lou Soloff, tragically, who died in 2015. But everybody gets a chance to talk about what it was like to be there. And one of the things that I never knew, and that I would imagine most people would not know until I saw the documentary, is that essentially your manager at the time kind of worked a deal with the State Department to keep David Clayton Thomas with kind of a permanent green card so he could continue to be with the band and sort of kind of coerce you guys into saying, hey, you'll do this tour, won't you fellas?
Yeah. In retrospect, I think that we should have said no and played hardball with the Justice Department, because the propaganda that would have come out of that, or the information that would have come out of that, was that would have been that, oh, they kicked our lead singer out, you know, which wouldn't make the government look very good.
Right.
And I was willing to do that, but this deal was made between our manager and the Justice Department, and it was too late. We couldn't say anything, and we got killed for it. That's what the film is about, and the film is a thriller, really.
And I remember when you came back, and just being a kid, I thought, wow, this is exciting. I'm really happy for them, and wow. And the third album came out, and it said, wow, this is incredible stuff. What I didn't realize is that when you guys came back, you were under attack from the right and from the left. The right because you went to a communist country, the left because you went to a communist country for the United States.
I mean, somebody just brought up in an interview that it was almost like the Vietnam veterans coming home, you know, like caught in the middle. And in our sense, we were caught in the middle also.
Right. There's a quote from the executive producer, James Sears Bryant, that you guys were early victims of cancel culture. I think that really, that's a great way of defining it. The hip press was really angry at you, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. Really angry. And it really broke my heart, actually. John, you can talk more about the cancel culture thing, because what John did was, he's a great detective, is a great filmmaker, and a great storyteller. He puts that, he articulates it so beautifully in the film. One of the great things about this film, John.
Yeah.
You know, Dave, I think, thank you, Steve. I think one of the interesting things was we tracked down a guy named David Felton, who wrote an article for Rolling Stone that really was one of the lead articles that started this destruction of the band, if you will, from the point of view of the left-wing media.
Right.
And we tracked him down, and he's a lovely, lovely man, articulate man, who was looked back at this article. First of all, he said he had forgotten about this article. Then when he read it, and we caught him on camera saying it, he said, you know, yeah, that kind of sounds like me. Very smarmy, very snarky. And he really regretted what he did. And I think that's an interesting thing in terms of cancel culture, that you get stuck in the moment of something and there's no real time to step back and think about it.
Right.
And I think what we see, Dave, often is that there are a lot of parallels between what's going on in the country now in 2023 and what was going on in America in 1970. Some of the specifics were different, but there are a number of parallels, including the emergence of cancel culture, including... You know, we were sitting in the editing room and we were looking at footage of Russian tanks rolling into Czechoslovakia in 1968 because they were challenging the Russian government.
Right.
And we couldn't help but think of Russian tanks rolling into Ukraine because they were challenging Putin. And I think, you know, what Steve and his bandmates discovered is that living under authoritarian regimes like Putin and like Russia, no great thing. Nothing that we really want to be doing. And I think sometimes we forget about that in the heat of political arguments these days. But going back to another point, I think your listeners don't even necessarily need to know who Blood, Sweat, and Tears were, don't necessarily need to know those great records that they made. It's just such a fascinating story with resonance to things that are going on today that I think your listeners are going to find this a really interesting, interesting film.
Absolutely. Gentlemen, thank you so much. We could talk for a half an hour anyway, because I enjoyed the band so much, still love playing your records, and enjoyed the documentary so much, this footage that gets smuggled out from behind the Iron Curtain. That's a story in of itself. So thank you very much for making time to talk to me today, and I feel like our listeners are going to want to see this documentary and enjoy it and see it for the cautionary tale it can be, too. So thank you both very much for visiting with me today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And to let you know a little bit more about our guest today, John Schneinenfeld wrote, produced, and directed The Happy Days of Gary Marshall, as well as Herb Albert Is, Sergio Mendez in The Key of Joy, Chasing Train, the John Coltrane documentary, This Is Hope, with Billy Crystal speaking the words of Bob Hope, The U.S. versus John Lennon, and Who is Harry Nilsson? As Why is Everybody Talking About Him? Steve Katz started on the road professionally when he was 15. His groups include the Even Dozen Jug Band, with future stars like Maria Muldaur and John Sebastian, the Danny Kalb Quartet, the Blues Project, and of course Blood, Sweat, and Tears, the original group, which put out the album Child is Father to the Man, and then the reorganized group with the lineup that was the most successful, won 3 Grammys, voted Best Band by the Playboy Jazz and Pop poll 2 years in a row, won 3 major Downbeat Awards, just to list a few of them. Been really a great pleasure for us to get a chance to hear what happened to the group and about this new documentary that explains it all in great detail. So thanks for joining us. I'm Doc Kirby for The Morning Show on WTBF.